Station number 17625, William Glaister, Rail 3.
Mr. Glaister, Rail 3. Did you have a leisure time in the army at these early stages? Where you, did you have time for games and so forth?
Oh, yes. Yes, you had time for games. You played various games. Football. Basketball, whatever, you know, whatever you were interested in. It was there for you if you wanted to partake. Then you had your leisure time at nights. You could go out into Chester Street and enjoy yourself, provided you didn't overdo it. We used to go to the dance at Graves's, I think it was, the bakery, and drink, and the Greenbank Club, that was opposite the drill hole.
How did you get on with the people of Chester Street?
All right, yeah.
Was there a fear that the war might be over before you got into it? Were you anxious to get into the war?
Not anxious to get in. It would have been good for it to end sooner. But you were in and that was it. You couldn't pick or choose. You just had to do as you were told and get on with life. And that was it.
It must have been quite a feeling for the, you know, parents and older people who'd lived through the First World War.
Yeah, I suppose so. I remember I was on leave and I'd been to Chester Street. I'd missed the last bus home. And I was walking from Chester Street. When I got home, my father, who was black, he'd be in the pit, you see, was sat on a seat. And I said, "Where's my mother?" Because we had air raid shelters put in my front gardens. But my mother fallen and broke her arm. And she wouldn't go back in them. Anyway, unknown to me, I said to my father, "Where's my mother?" He says, "Where's your mother? I'm bloody sick of this," he said. She was under the table, panicking, because the air raid alarm had gone.
What food were you being supplied with by the army?
Well, normal food. You got your breakfast in the morning.
What might you get for breakfast?
Well, you got porridge or bacon and egg. You know, the food was pretty reasonable.
And was this cooked by the cooks?
Yes, by our own troops. Well, not by civilians.
And where was your cookhouse in relation to your ballroom?
Well, I've got to think about this because it's that long ago. But you used to go with your mess tins and you'd get your foot in your mess tins and bring it back to your bed space and you'd eat
so
your food.
It was close to where you were.
Mm-hmm.
At what time would reveille be?
Oh, normally reveille was 6:30.
Were you woken by a bugle?
Yes, oh, I always by the bugle.
And 6:30, what did you immediately do then, other than, of course, obviously you put your clothes on?
Well, you make your bed. And then you'd go and get washed and shaved.
Where was that? Was it in some place, again, close to where you were sleeping?
Yeah, but in the hall, if I remember correctly, I think it was outside of the hall, what we call the ablutions.
Erected by the army, too?
Yeah.
Cold water or warm water?
Oh, cold.
When you finished that and, as you say, you cleaned your bed space and the room itself, what might happen first thing, first duty?
First duties? Well, there'll be a roll call to make sure that everybody's present and correct. And then there was various duties you had to do. It might be drill, might be a route march. There was various things mapped out for you, you know.
Program?
Yeah, it was a program.
And would this be on a notice board?
No, you were detailed. You were told by your NCOs. The senior NCOs. Well,
doing drills, basic drills at this time, did you do those to numbers to get them right?
Oh, yes. Yeah, you had to do it to numbers.
Be called out as they did them.
1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
Did DLI drill, basic drill, differ from other regiments?
Oh, yeah, it was very fast. Yeah, yeah. Sloping arms and presenting arms was all done very fast. And you're marching. Ceremonial marching was, I think it was 160 to the minute, I think. But 140. Ceremonial, you're more or less running, you know. If you answer your orders, quick step. You were running, yeah.
Did PT come into the training?
Yeah, oh yeah, you had to do your PT.
It was on a daily basis?
Yes, that would be done before your parades. You know, you do your basic PT instruction and training.
Would this be before breakfast or after breakfast?
Breakfast, oh yeah. Yeah, you would have your breakfast. And you'd be by your beds. And then the officer would come around and inspect your bed space and everything. And if it wasn't satisfactory, you would put on a charge. And then after that, your platoon or whatever it was, or your company was called out for PT. You do your PT, and then after PT, you'd have a short break.
What would you get for your short?
15 minutes, probably.
And did you get anything to drink on?
Oh, no.
Just a rest break?
Just a rest break. And then you would get prepared for the next item, which would probably be a route march, or it could be anything.
Route marches, can you take me through those? What might you be carrying on a route march?
Well, you carry your equipment. And your rifle, and you marched.
Well, that was with your small pack on your back.
Yeah.
And did you have your side have a sack?
Oh yes, you had your gas mask. Yeah.
What would you be carrying in your small pack?
Well, your mess tins and towel, soap, and shaving gear. And, you know, anything you can get in there. Which you thought would be necessary.
What kind of distances would you be marching?
10 mile, 15 mile, 20 mile.
Was it a gradual build-up as you spent?
Yeah, you just built up as you went on. Yeah.
Was there a break at a given stage?
Oh yeah, you got a break, probably after an hour. Stop and have a rest. Then you'd fall in and you'd carry on again.
Was this when you, in effect, go down and put your feet in the air?
Oh, yeah.
That's been described as as the rest. You said, put your feet up behind.
Aye, definitely. See, stretched out, and let's move. Your feet were up behind.
What pace would you be marching at? With it is a route march.
About 140 to the minute.
The slower, quick pace that you were describing.
Yeah, it was a quick. You know, you didn't dawdle around. You were on the move.
What happened if a man dropped out because of injury or where?
Well, there was always an NCO there, or somebody might get detailed to carry his rifle or something like that, you know.
You weren't followed by some transport which would pick up a man who...
Oh, no. No.
When you got back from route march, were your feet examined?
Yeah, you went in, you had your shower and rubbed your feet and foot powder. And then if your feet were sore, you reported sick or whatever, you know. But fortunately, I always looked after my feet. I never had any trouble. Touch wood.
As a miner, you'd be used to wearing the heavy boots.
Yeah.
It must have been hard for people coming, say, from clerical jobs or shop jobs who had to wear boots.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was there any bullying or initiation ceremonies that you hear of today at this time?
Well, you always got the odd one that thought he was a bully, but he would always get put in his place, you know, if he was that way inclined.
You mentioned one officer there. Was he your officer?
Mr. Bruce. Yes, he was one of the platoon officers. That's at Lampton Park Stable.
That's when you move on to your next move.
Yeah.
We'll come to that in just a moment. At what point did you go down to the range for your shoot your course?
Well, it was...
This was at
Whitburn. It was once a year. And you fired your course. And that was it. Annually, you know.
What ranges were you firing at?
Oh, there was various ranges, you know.
Distances, really, I should say.
Yeah, 600 yards. And you would work back to 100, you know. I kick off at 100 and then go to 200, 300, 400, 500, 600.
Did this include rapid fire workers?
Yes, all right.
Groupings? And
yeah.
As against individual shots for the target?
Yeah, you had to rapid fire, but the majority of the shooting was deliberate. You had time to aim and reload and take aim. Reload, so forth.
What was the standard like of musketry?
What was the standard like?
Was it a high standard? Did they attain a good standard of accuracy?
Oh yeah, we had a good standard of accuracy. Well, you had to have a good standard, otherwise you couldn't pass, you see.
You never passed level.
You never passed level. So you had to maintain a good standard of weaponry, you know. Yeah.
So PT, route marches, drill, did you have anti-gas precaution training?
Not at this early stage, no.
Bayonet training, did that come in?
Oh, yeah, you did your training on the bayonet. You had a frame with a sack in the middle, and you used to jab it out, away past, not the next one. You know, that's the way it was.
Yeah. Were you encouraged to shout and yell as you went and...
Oh, you had to. Yeah, you see, yelling.
Was there a lot of training with the bayonet?
Yeah, you got quite a bit of training with the bayonet. But having said that, the training was necessary, I think, in warfare, because you never knew what you were going to come up against. And I think it was essential that bayonet training was included in your training. Yeah.
But again, at these early stages, which we're concentrating on, did you have any experience of throwing grenades?
Not in the early stages, no. No. I did throw grenades eventually, but not in the early stages.
But this kind of training would be going on during the morning, and then you'd come to lunchtime. What would you get for lunch as food?
Oh, you got a dinner. You know, it was just dropped into your mess tins, but you enjoyed it.
What might it be that was put in your mess tins?
Well, potato and veg and meat, gravy. Then you got the sweet and the other half, which it could consist of bread pudding, you know, you got various things.
Afternoons, would that be more work of the sort you've outlined about?
Oh yeah, it was a full day, apart from your little breaks, you know, your breaks, your nappy break.
How long did you get for lunch?
Well, normally it'd be 12 o'clock till 1, or half past 1, and then you're back training again after that.
And then you got in between what you call your naffy break. What would that be?
Well, about a half an hour. It depended. If you're right, fall out for a naffy break, I want you back on parade in 20 minutes. That was it. But
and did you get the opportunity then for a drink or a bun or a biscuit or whatever?
Oh, you got a bun or something, you know, if you had the coppers. But I was on 2 shilling a day, 14 shilling a week. And out of that, I had to make an allowance of 7 shillings a week home to my parents, and the rest was for me to live on for the rest of the week. Your nappy pack. You used to get your boot polish, your Meppo, not every week, but your Meppo, your shoe polish, probably a duster, your cigarettes, your bar chocolate, and that was your 7 bob card.
Did you buy Blanco for your...
Oh, yes, you had to buy Blanco.
What colour was the DLI Blanco?
Colour?
Was it that green or...?
Greenish colour, yeah.
There wasn't nothing special for the DLI in a sense. It didn't have its own colour scheme.
Finished colour, I think.
And with this, you kept your equipment clean. When did you do that? When were you busy cleaning your equipment?
Well, I used to do it at weekends. Clean it weekends. In fact, you clean it when you could. You know, every opportunity you got, you had to make sure your brushes and that was clean and highly polished.
Did they insist on a high standard of turnout?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, boots had to be polished, spit and polished. Yes, sir. Do the toes and the heels.
You'd have tea, what time would tea be?
T- tea, 5 o'clock-ish.
What would you get for that?
Oh, to be honest, I wouldn't like to say no. I can't remember. But it was sufficient. It would vary, I think. It did vary.
How did you spend your evenings?
Oh, well, you got your time out. You had to be in by a certain time. You used to go out, you used to go to the dance, or pictures, or go to the barn.
Did you have to pass an inspection to get out?
Not at that particular time. I did later. Oh yes, you report to the guard room and you're inspected, and if the guard commander decided you weren't dressed correctly, go back inside, back in barracks. Go back and get your tights changed, so get your shoes cleaned up, so get out of there. And on occasions you were sent back and there was nothing wrong. It was just they were trying to be, you know, and you said, curse them.
Can we look at some of the duties that you had to do? Were you involved in guard duties in Chester Street?
Yeah, you did your guard duty, but it was only on the ballroom. You didn't go to various places and do them. You did your guard duty there.
Was there a guard parade for changing guards and so forth?
Oh yeah, you changed guard and you paraded just as normal, you know, the normal guard procedure.
How long was the total guard duty?
Well, you probably mount guard at 6 o'clock till 6 o'clock next morning, or till reveille.
At 6 o'clock in the evening till 6 o'clock.
And then the regimental police would take over, you see.
Mm-hmm. Was it a special effort that you had to really go and get yourself well cleaned?
Oh, you had to be well turned out, otherwise you were charged. Oh, yes.
Who inspected you?
Duty officer. Yeah.
What kind of thing would he look at to see if you were well turned out?
Well, your hair, your haircut, your feet, see if your boots was clean, up to standard. He would check you all over the place, you know. And then sometimes he just walk past you, and depending who he was and what he was.
How many would make up a guard?
About six. Yeah.
Were you marched to change to a position where you changed with those that were on?
I see relief. Just march you. And you used to change guard. You know, you used to do the drill. And then he would march you back to the guard room.
As a Lance Corporal, were you in charge of a guard?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I did guard duties.
What other duties were you to do?
Transport. In fact, most of my duty was transport. I was an NCO on the transport.
And what did that entail?
Well, I was in charge of drivers who was on transport, and servicing. You know, if the vehicle had to be serviced, you were responsible probably for that.
And protecting the transport at night, was there a guard on, a picket
or
a guard
of
some kind
on
there? What's the difference?
Sometimes the MT would provide their own picket, other times it was left to the guard. One would be on the main gate and one patrol the perimeter, as you may say. He'd patrol the camp.
Of course, yeah. In Chester Street, that wouldn't be the situation.
No.
What's the difference between a picket and a guard?
What's the difference? Well, a picket, if you're on picket duty, you weren't restricted to one place, but a guard was restricted. He was stood there at the guard room, outside the guard room, and that was his place. And he would hold anything that came within, you know, within transport, he'd hold them. Anyone on foot, he would hold them, especially at dark. Advance and be recognized. Sorry, sir. And the officer would pass, you know, whoever it was. Maybe some of the lads just coming into camp after having a night out, you know. But the picket would patrol the MT. They would have a picket on. And the picket used to patrol the transport, picket the transport, to make sure that there was nobody tampering with it or stealing it or, you know, whatever.
In the early days, again, when you were in Birtley and Chesley Street, you've mentioned that there were duties that you were given if you did some minor thing wrong. What other kind of punishments were prevalent for possibly other wrongdoings?
Well, it depended on the nature of the crime. If it was a petty crime, you were probably restricted to barracks for 7 days, 3 days, 4 days, whatever the company commander decided. And that meant you were restricted. You must stay within the camp and report at various times, you see, to make sure that you were in. And I lived in Birtley. When I was at Lambton Park Stables, if you were restricted to camp, you couldn't get home. But if you weren't, you could get home and probably be home till 11 o'clock and be back for 12 midnight. And you used to meet at the gate, Lambton Park gates, to go through the camp, to get to camp with a bit of company.
But as well as being confined to camp, were you given tasks as well?
Oh yeah, they were given Dixies to clean or something like that, you know. Yeah, oh, you got tasks.
For more serious crimes, whatever they may be, what might happen to someone?
Well, if a person committed a serious crime, he was remanded for the commanding officer by his company commander. He was remanded for the commanding officer, and if the commanding officer decided it was very serious, he would go and marshal it, and that was it. But it was the company commander, CEO, commanding officer. Company commander, commanding officer, then a court marshal, if he thought fit. Yeah.
Was there much trouble with men coming in? I know we've mentioned this before, but as time went on, were men going off or don't leave, anything of that nature?
Very, very few. I can't recall anyone leaving or going to AWL, absent without leave, you know.